Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, happy Monday, everybody, and thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. Today, as I had mentioned last week, I wanted to dedicate this episode to all of our veterans out there. And so today we have a very, very special guest. We have retired Major General Mark Graham on the show with us today. And Major General Mark Graham is currently serving as the Senior Director, Rutgers UBHC National Call Center. And included in his duties as director, he also works with Vets for Warriors and several other programs. Major General Graham retired from the U.S. Army on August 1st, 2012, after almost 35 years of service. His final position was as the Director, U.S. Army Forces Command at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. In this position, he oversaw the plans, operations, and training for Army forces, active and reserve, stationed in the continental United States, and ensured conventional forces were prepared for worldwide deployment and combat. Major General Graham and his wife Carol are tireless champions of military and civilian efforts to promote mental health and suicide prevention awareness, and to eliminate the stigma surrounding mental health care. To honor the memory of their sons, to Lieutenant Jeff Graham, who was killed by an IED in Iraq in February 2004, and their son Kevin, a senior Army ROTC cadet who died by suicide in June 2003 while studying to be an Army doctor at the University of Kentucky. The Grahams established the Jeffrey C. and Kevin A. Graham Memorial Fund to provide the Question, Persuade, Refer Suicide Prevention Program at the University of Kentucky. The Grahams were instrumental in establishing the Jeffrey and Kevin Graham Memorial Endowed Lectureship in Psychology for the study of depression and suicide prevention at Cameron University in Lawton, Oklahoma. Additionally, they supported the ongoing efforts of the Pike Peak Suicide Prevention Partnership in Colorado Springs through the Jeffrey and Kevin Graham Support Services. The Graham story is featured in the award-winning book, The Invisible Front, Loss and Love in an Era of Endless War, by Yoki Driesen. In addition to his bachelor's degree in political science, Major General Graham holds a Master's of Business Administration from Oklahoma City University and a Master of Science in National Security Strategy from the National Defense University in Washington. He is also a graduate of the U.S. Command and General Staff College and the National War College. Major General Graham's numerous military awards include the Distinguished Service Medal, the Bronze Star, the Defense Superior Service Medal, the Legion of Merit, the Meritorious Service Medal, and the Humanitarian Service Medal. And Major General Graham, it's such a pleasure to have you on the show today. Thank you so much for joining us. General Graham? Oh, we may have lost General Graham. Are you there? Well, this has never happened before. I guess we're having some technical difficulties. General Graham was on the phone with us, and we may have lost him. So, Sam, I'm not sure if you can hear us, but if you can hold, go ahead and dial General Graham back into the call. I don't know if we lost him. General Graham, did we lose you? Okay, so while we're getting this technical error fixed, we will go ahead and work on getting General Graham back on the phone right now and getting that situation sorted. I'm pretty impressed that in the over of a year that we've been hosting the show, we haven't had that sort of technical glitch before, but it's very possible that him being on one coast and us being on the other coast, technology does sometimes fail us from time to time. So we are working on getting General Graham on the other line right now. General Graham,
Hi, General.
Are you there?
I am. Can you hear me, Jennifer?
Yes, yes, I can. I was just saying, I don't know what happened. In all the years I've been doing the show, I haven't had this happen yet. So I'm grateful that we were able to reconnect with you. How are you today?
I'm good. I heard everything you said, so.
Yeah, it's sometimes, you know, technology, as amazing as it is that it connects us all around the world, sometimes it does fail us and we have to reconnect and appreciate the technology gods, whatever they might be, that they are not always in our favor. So, General Graham, please tell our listeners a little bit about your story. I know I shared a little bit about it in your bio, but I would love our listeners to know kind of how you came to be a general in the Army and your story.
I'm going to being a general in the Army. It's just a lot of great Americans that worked for me that made me look good. got a lot of great work done for our Army and our nations, and I'm a soldier for life. So anyway, we thank all the service members and their families who continue to serve today, and also all of our great American veterans and their families as well for all they've done and given up for our nation. And we, my wife and I, retired from Fort Bragg, North Carolina, and she's from Kentucky. I'm from St. Louis, and we ended up in New Jersey because of the program Vets for Warriors. As you had mentioned earlier in your introduction, my wife and I have lost both of our sons. Our son was a 20—Kevin was a 21-year-old ROTC cadet, studying to be an Army doctor at the University of Kentucky. And 21st of June, 2003, took his own life. He was struggling with depression and did not want anyone to know that he was on depression medication and that he was struggling. And 7 months later, his older brother, Jeff, was a second lieutenant of armor and was killed by an IED on foot patrol in Chaldea, Iraq, which is right outside Fallujah. So our sons died fighting different battles. One died fighting a battle of mental illness, and one died fighting an enemy in a foreign land. So for that reason, when I had an opportunity to take a position as the director of Vets for Warriors, I took it without hesitation because it's a 24-hour peer support line that's answered live by veterans who are hired and trained and to help others and help work through whatever challenges they might be facing at the time. And the idea is to thrive and get employed and do great things in your community and use all the skills you learn in the military, again, in the civilian world. But oftentimes we hit bumps in the road. And I saw a bumper sticker one time that said, you know, it's all about plan B. and my wife, Carol, and I looked at each other and said, you know, I guess we're kind of on plan LMNOP at this time. because life surely doesn't go as planned typically. And you never know what's going to happen. And if you had told me I'd be sitting here on the radio, having lost both my sons, I really wouldn't have believed it. But there's a mission for us, and we felt like it's an important mission that, as our son Jeff told us before he deployed, you know, he asked my wife and I to continue to do what we're doing. He said, there are a lot of Kevins out there. And so we want to make sure that the there's a phone for anybody to call or live chat on our website at vetsforwarriors.com. So that 24 hours a day, you're never alone. You can always call and contact and talk to another veteran who's had some of the same lived experiences or shared lived experiences that you might have had.
Is it a struggle for veterans, General, when they get back into try and transition into civilian life? Is that an obstacle you often see them face?
It can be. It is. Most of the time when we leave the military, we're all very confident and very positive about what we've done in the military and a lot of confidence in our abilities in the military. But when you got into the civilian world, you find out very quickly it's different. And not that that's a good thing or a bad thing, it's just a different thing. One thing I think is important to know is your military experience is sometimes hard to relate to a civilian employer. You know, what you did in the military, they might look at it and say, well, you know, you're an artillery guy. You know, you shot cannons, but there's a lot of leadership and a lot of training expertise, and you understand how to take a task and how to put it into action. You know how to lead a small group or even a larger group to take a project from start to finish. And you can solve problems quickly on your feet when things happen, because most projects don't go perfect from the start. They have challenges, and military are trained to deal with challenges each and every day.
Yeah, I can't imagine what it was like for you with your sons, or even for anybody who comes back. I know my grandfather served in two wars, and I come from a long line of people who have served our country, and we as civilians can't fathom what it's like to have been shot at and then to try and transition and also overcome mental illness at the same time is unfathomable, quite frankly, to somebody like me who's a civilian. And that's why I think it's so important that the first step in any way, shape, or form to help our veterans is education followed by compassion, and then making sure that our veterans have the resources necessary, not only just to survive, but to actually thrive, because we see so many veterans who are homeless or on the streets or suffering mental illness of some type or another. And I feel like a lot of employers are ill-equipped to deal with the obstacles that somebody might face coming back and making that transition. What are your thoughts?
No, I agree. And I think one of the things that's important to know is it's not only the veterans sometimes that are going through a challenge, but sometimes employers are. When an employer interviews a veteran, and they have to make a decision, do I hire a veteran? Do I take a chance on a veteran? Or do I go with someone who's been in the civilian world and worked in the civilian world for a while? And I will tell you, most folks are civilians. Not many serve, like less than 1% of our nation serves in uniform. But there's some unique skills that a veteran brings, and they will learn fast and they'll work hard. And I think that's one thing that civilian employers find very quickly is that veterans are smart. They work hard. They study hard. They want to be the best they can possibly be at whatever you ask them to do. And the other thing I would talk to civilian employers about is don't pin a veteran in. Give them a little room, because what they'll bring to your organization are some very unique skill sets that many don't bring. And they'll see things and be able to help your organization grow and thrive more than you ever imagined if you just give them a chance.
I agree completely, because I know throughout my years of recruiting, a lot of our clients love to see it when somebody has served for our country, been in the Marines, Armed Forces, Navy, any of the branches, because what they do bring to the table is perspective. And their perspective, I think, is going to be very different than your average civilian's perspective because of the hardships, the challenges, the things that they had to overcome to be able to serve the country. And, whether it was mental obstacles, physical obstacles, I can't even imagine. I know my grandfather would tell me stories of the training that they have to go through and the loyalty, too, that I've noticed. Once you've served, I think that there's a different sense of loyalty than we see in today's market. I think a lot of people, because of what happened with the recession between 2008 and 2014, are much more haphazardly when it comes to choosing a job and sticking with a job and tend to jump a lot more. And my experience with veterans is that if they find a superior or somebody or an organization that they believe in, they will really give you 150%. And like you said, do everything they can to be the best. Would you agree with that, General?
I would. And I think you hit a really important point, and that's loyalty. The veterans are very loyal, and they'll be loyal to the organization, to the company. And so much of it is culture. So if the company has a strong ethical culture and the veteran feels that, they'll be so loyal, they'll want to stay there, and they'll take it on personally to make the organization even better. I mean, it really is an ingrained piece that comes with the military. As you go through the military, you learn that culture, that it's not about you, it's about the team, it's about the we and not the I. And they'll help others, they'll work with others, because they want the organization to succeed.
Yeah. One thing I thought that was interesting, I know when you and I were chatting prior to this call, was that you had mentioned over 50%, something to that effect, of people who get out of the military and get their first civilian job can sometimes change jobs in the first 18 months. Why do you think that would be, especially given the level of loyalty that you and I just described? Why do you think that might happen from time to time?
I think part of it is because when we first get out of the military, you're anxious. You're not sure what you want to do. And oftentimes I think we jump at the first opportunity that comes our way.
Mm.
Okay, because you're so used to being employed, and there's a fear of not being employed, even though we might not want to show it. So I think a lot of times a veteran will jump at the first opportunity that comes their way instead of really kind of taking a step back and looking and seeing, okay, where do I fit? What do I want to do? Where do I fit? Is this a fit for not just the organization and me, but for me and the organization? So I think sometimes we need to kind of slow down. I had a boss before I retired that called me, and he said something I'll never forget. He said, "Mark, do not rush to unhappiness."
That's amazing. Do not rush to unhappiness.
Yeah, I thought that was very good advice. I mean, and of course, his thought was, when you retire, take your time, you know, find something that fits, and then go do great things there.
I think that's applicable, interestingly enough, to both the civilian or to the veteran who is out there looking for a job, because I feel like so often we get frustrated by not having a job that we take any job. And yeah. I think that's why so many people right now are job hopping, is because I think we've lost track of our values. And I would be curious to get your thoughts on, would you say somebody who has been in the service and comes out of the service, would you think that they would have a stronger sense of themselves and knowing what they want? Or do you think it would be more challenging for them to determine their own wants since they've kind of catered to the armed services for so long? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think that's a double-edged sword. If you come out of the military and you have a specific skill set, I mean, I'm an artillery officer. That was my initial trade in the Army when I was first in the Army. It's an artillery officer. So not a lot of companies are looking for artillery officers. but they are looking for communications officers or signal officers or computer folks or technical. So if you come out with a technical skill, I think you come away with a little different perspective. But if you're in the combat arms and you're in the war fighting part of the Army, to where you're in infantry, armor, artillery, you know, those kind of skills, you still have a lot of skills those other military members had, but they're a little different. So for me, I mean, I came out, so I had some unique skills as an artillery person, but it's all the leadership and all the experience you've gained in the military that you bring. So it's more of the operational management level parts that you bring, and that's officer and enlisted. I mean, in decision-making and being able to look at a situation and make decisions quickly and effectively by looking at all sides of it.
I think that's a good point that you raise, is it really has to do with, it's an individual thing. It's not something that you could make a blanket statement about all armed forces professionals or all veterans are one way or another. I think it's a case-by-case situation, like you just said. And when somebody, if say you were able to give advice to any veterans out there who are looking to get into the civilian world and to get back to work, what would be some recommendations you might have so that they could be empowered when they make that transition, and not only for finding the right job, but also to mentally make sure that they have the tools they need to be able to transition in a way that works for them, that doesn't the word disempower isn't right, because mental illness, I've dealt with it personally, and I know people in my family who have dealt with it. It's depression is a nasty thing, and especially when you're dealing with people with PTSD. How would you recommend that somebody who's getting ready to make that transition goes about taking care of their well-being so that they can be the best employee possible wherever they might go?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And I think employers need to realize, just because you served in the military doesn't necessarily mean you have post-traumatic stress. I mean, people that have been in car accidents and seen other things have had post-traumatic stress. So it comes in all shapes and sizes. And oftentimes I think we feel that our military, everyone leaving the military, are struggling with it. Many are, but that's also the case in the civilian world. So I think the key is for employers to just be aware that so many people struggle with some form of mental illness. And mental illness can range from anxiety to depression all the way up to schizophrenia on the other end of the spectrum. And there's, you know, studies out, and I'm not a doctor, I'm an Army guy, but there's studies out that talk about those that have struggled with mental illness. And the good news is there help. There is help. There's care out there that you can get. And I think employers need to think, if an employee comes in and they've got some trouble with their heart or their lungs or anything else, they would get them the best medical care possible. And it's the same thing if they have some mental illness. If they need to see a professional, to see a clinician, well then fine, that's part of care. I mean, we need to make sure we bring it together as health care. But I think that as you're leaving the military, a couple things I recommend that folks do before they leave the military is start networking early on. Mm. Don't wait until you're, 3 months out. Start networking early on. Start figuring that out. Start thinking about and researching. And when you get ready to go for an interview, study the company. Know what that company's values are. Know what their goals are. Know something about them. Know a lot about them. Because, when you walk in the door, they're expecting you to come in there very well prepared. And I think that's one thing military members do very well as they prepare. You know, we do a lot of planning, we do a lot of preparation, but we all know what happens is once things start, once the fight starts, the plan usually changes because the enemy doesn't follow the plan typically. So, but the better prepared you are and the better you've trained and gotten ready for an interview for a job, then the better you are when you get asked a question you weren't ready for, you can react to it.
I think that's a good point. Although I don't want us to think that the employers are the enemy, but I hear what you're saying in a context,
please note, they're not the enemy. That's true. They're the allies. And I didn't mean it that way. But what I mean is when I mention the enemy, it's when the plan, you know, the other person might not be thinking the same way you are. So you might have prepared for plan A. And of course, they might be asking you questions from left field that you weren't thinking about. So it's not like they're trying to trick you. It's just that's where they're coming from. And you just got to be prepared. But I think you'll find veterans are very quick on their feet and realize that and can adjust very quickly. And they're very, very agile.
Yeah, I think that's important is no matter whether you're a veteran or a civilian, is just to be able to be fluid in an interview. And like you said, is it's great to go in with a strategy and a plan to any interview and to practice. And like you said, just prepare yourself as much as possible and to be prepared for different contingencies, different questions or unexpected things that might come up, and to be prepared for all of plan A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And so that way you're not completely caught off guard and disempowered in the interview.
Exactly. I think one of the things every veteran should walk into an interview with is I think one of the questions many prospective employers ask a veteran is, you know, why would you make a good employee? And I think they just need to be ready. They ask the same question as civilians, but civilians are part of the civilian world, so they understand that. And when you come from the military, you're trying to think, well, you know, I've never really worked in the business world, so how do I answer that question? And you just need to be prepared to answer that. Because I think there's so many companies out there doing wonderful things, hiring veterans all around the country that are doing great, and we thank all of them for the work they're doing. And I think they'll come back and say that they're very happy they're doing that, that they've got some wonderful employees. I mean, when you look after World War II and how our nation, you know, literally changed when everyone came back and started going to school and back into the workforce, it just enriched our nation and our workforce.
I agree. I think it's just a different set of skills that people are going to bring to the table. And you might have civilians who have similar skills, but there's a different level of service that our veterans bring. I've never risked my life for someone or something, let alone for the country. And to bring that level of loyalty, dedication, and what it must take to be courageous enough to even be deployed, let alone more than once. It's just something that as a civilian, I'm so grateful for it. And I can't even imagine the sort of courage it takes to get up and to do that every single day and the dedication that it takes. And that's something that I think employers would appreciate. And perhaps something that to any of our veterans listening out there today, write down a list of the things. I know it's you're taught to be humble, but maybe just write down and start with a couple of things. Ask your friends, ask your superiors, what are some attributes that I have that, you know, would you say have me stand apart from other people? And write those down and then start to culminate and think about and mull over some different examples of where that was true, where you could mention that you utilized those skills while you were deployed or while you were in service. And I think those are great things, is just to be able to own the fact of the contribution that you made and to be willing to share that in a meaningful way in an interview. I think that could make a big difference for a lot of the veterans out there who might be looking to transition.
You know, I agree 100%. And I think you made a very good point there, a couple of them actually. And one of them was is sometimes I think the humility piece, but we're almost a little bit, no one wants to brag. So veterans don't want to say, you know, I did this or I did that, because we're taught not to do the I thing. It's we did this and we did that. So they, in the interview, they could even do that and say, I was part of a unit and we did this. And the employer might say, well, specifically, what did you contribute? Well, then you can go into you specifically, but you can always start out with, you know, we did this or our unit did this, or when I was in, you know, I was part of an organization that accomplished these things, and let them know that you're a part of an organization, because that's what they're hiring you for, right? They want you to be part of their organization. So they want to know you fit in, that you can be a part of a team and you understand teamwork and how you work together with others to succeed.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, is it's about having that transition be comfortable enough. If you're, you know, spend 5, 10, 20, 30 years, in your case, 35 years in the armed forces, and you're used to answering every question with we, us, and our, it can be a little bit of a psychological adjustment to start utilizing the I again and to embrace the I and to be able to speak up. And another thing that I would put out there, in general, I would love your thoughts on this, is if I were a veteran and I weren't used to using the I word. I was more of a we and a us person, and I wasn't used to talking about myself and my achievements. I might start the interview by saying that. That way you're saying what the elephant in the room is. And so you could possibly start the interview and say, you know what, Mr. Employer, I'm so grateful for this opportunity. I have to say, you know, it's funny coming from the armed forces that everything was about us and we, and how can we make the team better? So it might even be a weakness for me to be able to tell you why I'm great, because I'm used to serving the we. And I think that's what would honestly make me a great employee, is that I care as much about other people as I do about myself. I don't know. I'm just putting that out there. What are your thoughts?
No, I think that's an interesting thought. I mean, yeah, I hadn't thought of it that way, but that's an interesting thought. I think you've got to feel out the folks doing the interview and how they'll take that in the organization and the company. But I think that is a good way to start. That way they know right up front, you understand team and you're part of a team. You're an individual and you'll work hard. You'll study hard and learn. And your learning curve will be quick. And I think that's the other thing, is if an employer's thinking, do I hire somebody with 5 or 6 years experience in the civilian world, or someone that's coming out of the military with experience, how long is it going to take that military member to catch up? And I can tell them, by far, the vast majority of the time, they'll learn really fast, because they'll study hard, they'll learn hard, because they want to please their employer. They're going to want to please the boss.
Yeah, and I think that's a great attribute, because given a lot of what we see in the workplace now, there's less cohesiveness and it's more me versus you. And it is a rare quality to find somebody who wants to please their superior. I don't think that's something we see as often in today's workplace. And I think it's a great attribute that you just mentioned to highlight, as well as, you know, what we were just talking about. It's important to give examples. I think it's one thing to go into an employer and say, well, Mr. Employer, I'm a quick learner. And I think it's something else entirely to tie in a specific time where you learned something that you had to learn quickly. You know, maybe it was a new language, maybe it was a new piece of technology, or even if it was artillery, maybe it was the way a new weapon worked and you had zero experience with it. If you can give specific measurable results or examples, that's really going to solidify your answer, whether you're a civilian or a veteran. But I think it's something that veterans might not think about as often, is it's okay to share an example of a time where you were a quick learner and tie that into your interview.
Yeah, that's a great idea. It's a great thought. And I think it's something that they can help us as they prepare to go out there, as to think of examples, not just thoughts, but examples of things, because examples stick in the employer's mind. They'll remember the examples. You're exactly right.
Yeah. And I think the great thing too about your organization that you're working with, Vets for Warriors, is it sounds like they get to have peer-to-peer, they have other veterans who are coaching them, correct? That's who's on the helpline that you people call into?
They do. It's a reciprocal peer support model. So when you call in or do a live chat on the website at vetsforwarriors.com, when you call in, the phone's answered live by another veteran, and they're employed. You know, we post jobs, we interview, we hire, then we put them through training, and they do peer support work. So when you call in, we then follow up and call you back and see how you're doing. We help, you know, help coordinate if you need to get into care, if you're struggling and need some mental health care, we can help you with that. If you're struggling in some other areas, we connect you to organizations in your community, because we think community is the key here. As be surrounded by your community, become a part of your community and be surrounded by the community. And, you know, you help others just like they're there to help you and work together. So we work through whatever they're going through and whatever they need, whatever their challenges might be. And we stay with them as long as they want. You know, it's 3, 6, 9, 12 months. We talk to them as many times as need be. But you don't have to keep calling us back. If you don't want to, we call you back. And I think a couple of things that are real key about Vets for Warriors is it's confidential. So it can be anonymous. We really don't, you know, you don't need to tell us your name. That's not what's important. What's important is, you know, what are you going through and how can we assist? And let's do this before you're at the point of crisis. You know, early on, if you're struggling with employment or housing or relationships or whatever you're going through, substance abuse or anything, you know, let's, you know, call us and talk to us. You are not alone. We're a phone call away, and we're there 24 hours a day. We never shut down.
I think it's such a great gift that you have this available to the veterans out there, because I know there's another program I work with here in LA called Makeovers That Matter that specifically helps, you know, women veterans get back to work in a similar way. But it's, you see some of these people who go through the programs, and it is so sad because they feel like they're alone. They feel like nobody understands them, and they feel sometimes separate or scared because they haven't been in the civilian world and they feel different. And I think it's so important that the people who have a chance to call into your line have veterans. So it's not like a civilian who doesn't know what they've gone through. I mean, I've done coaching and workshops for veterans myself because I think it's so important to give back to the people who have served our country. And I also get they might not be able to fully relate to me, no matter how much great information I can relay, if I haven't been on the front lines or, you know, had a gun to my head or God knows what people might have gone through. It's going to be a different set of circumstances and obstacles that the veterans are going to be able to relate to who are on your helpline. And I think it's so critical because, like you said, we don't want to lose another life. I mean, my gosh, to be able to survive, get back, to be here safely, and then to have to battle, as you said it, you know, the mental enemy of depression, which impacts so many people. I think it's great that you have resources to support and provide for our veterans. You know, tell our listeners a little bit more, anything else you want us to know about Vets for Warriors. And I want to make sure everybody knows it's Vets, V-E-T-S, and the number 4. And then Warriors is the website that General Graham and I are talking about. Is there anything else you would like the vets out there to know about in case they're, you know, afraid? Maybe they're just afraid to pick up the phone and call or think, well, that it couldn't help me. It couldn't help this issue that I'm faced with currently. Do you have any advice for people out there who might be in that position?
I do. And the phone number for Vets Warriors is 855-838-8255. And again, if you're grabbing a pencil and paper or you're typing in your telephone, preferably, it's 855-838-8255. I wish my son Kevin had a phone number he could have called.
I know.
Kevin died almost 14 years ago, and we don't want to lose any more civilians or military. So we never turn anyone away. If you've ever served in uniform for one day, or if you're a family member of anyone who has, you know, or great veterans and retirees, anyone out there, you know, life sometimes is tough, and we all, you know, everyone seems to be going through something sometime in their life. And when you are, please know you're not alone, that there's another veteran out there that has a shared lived experience like you and that is understanding and is available. We also have a licensed clinician on staff 24 hours a day. And can be there for support as well. So we want to make sure that people call us before they are at a point of crisis. Don't wait. Get help early. We can connect you to community-based resources. We can help. We can help them navigate through the systems to get to the VA or whatever they're struggling with. And sometimes it's hard to make that first phone call. But what we find is, you know, over 70% of those that call us want to call back. They want to continue to talk to us. Even when we connect them to a resource possibly or something, they still want to keep that connection. And our tagline is discover the power of connection. Because connection is so important. And being able to, we deal from a place of strength. So you don't call, you know, it's not that you're calling saying, hey, I'm struggling with this necessarily right off the initial phone call. You're calling and you're finding out, hey, I was in the military, you were in the military, what's going on? And we go from there. And then you open up as much as you want or as little as you want. And, you know, sometimes it takes several phone calls to open up. Sometimes it's the first phone call. But it's on your timeline, not ours.
I think that's great because it's that need to be able to feel safe and to feel known. And like you said, most importantly, to know you're not alone, that there are other people out there who have gone through similar obstacles. And I know when I had battled depression in my late teens and early 20s, it was something where you literally feel like you're the only person in the world and that nobody else can possibly understand what you're going through. And I wish, you know, I'm lucky to be where I am today, but I mean, again, General, I wasn't going to say this, but I did try to commit suicide when I was younger. And when I survived, I was so grateful that I realize, okay, I'm still here. There are so many wonderful men and women who die for all sorts of other reasons every day, let alone suicide. And so if I'm still here, I need to do something to give back. And I wish I could go back and tell my younger self, it's going to be okay. There are other people out there who go through similar struggles. And I just invite anybody out there listening, you know, please share Vets for Warriors, share this information that General Graham has so graciously, you know, shared with us today, with your friends, with your family members, with anyone who you know who has served our country. Because I feel like we all post on social media, thank you so much for your service. And I know many of us mean it, but this is actually a meaningful way that you can give back and make a difference in the lives of other human beings. And those human beings who, you know, sacrificed for us, it's a gift. And General Graham, I'm so grateful for the work you do and the foundation you set up for your sons, because, you know, whether it's in battle, like you said, an enemy on foreign territory or an enemy in our own mind, it's just about having resources and knowing that there's somebody out there who can listen to you. And sometimes that's all you need, is just somebody to listen and hear your pain, right?
Absolutely. Sometimes folks just need to talk and know that they're not alone. And that's for sure. And I would tell all those listeners out there, you know, just if you go to the website, we're also on all the social media sites. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, you name it, we're on there. So we're on all the social media sites as well. So one of the things we find is those that call don't typically share with others because it's confidential. Mm. And they don't necessarily want to tell someone else they might have called, because of the stigma. And, you know, we're trying to continue to eliminate the stigma, but we're at Vet for Warriors, we're a stigma-free zone. No matter what you're calling about, we're here to help, not judge, and we'll work with you. So I think it's important to know that you can call, and trust me, we've got veterans from every era of conflict, from Vietnam all the way to Iraq and Afghanistan fights, male, female, and we've got every service, Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marine Corps.
Well, thank you so much, General Graham. It's been so illuminating for me to have you on the show, because it's the behind-the-scenes stuff we never realize that the veterans go through, especially in the transition and let alone when they're in service. So again, this show is dedicated to all of the veterans, all the people currently serving now or in the future, in the past. And thank you to everybody out there who protects our freedoms and gives us the capacity to have a show like this and to be able to have free speech and to share things that might make a difference in someone's life. So General Graham, thank you so much. It has been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. And next week, we're going to have Dr. Lois Frankel on the show talking about how to be effective. And she has a great book called Nice Girls Don't Get Rich. So we're going to be talking to her about some ways that you can effectively go out there and be successful in every area of your life. So thank you so much again, General Graham. It's a pleasure to have you on the show. Tune in every Monday at 4. If you ever miss an episode, you can find us on iTunes at Get Yourself the Job, or we also have a Facebook page, Get Yourself the Job on Facebook, where you can interact with us and share comments or feedback, as well as we post content on there from our guests. So General Graham from Vets for Warriors, please do utilize that resource and recommend it to all of your friends. And thank you again, General, for joining us on the show today.
Well, thank you, Jennifer, and thank you for LA Talk Radio for all you're doing to help so many.
Absolutely. And thank you for the work you're doing to pay it forward for your children, to make sure that other people don't have to suffer the same loss that you and your wife did. Thank you so much. And everybody out there, have a wonderful week.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.